That same day, Jesus went out of the crowd, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Listen then to what this parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What was sown, snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But then the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. Amen.
Great, thank you. So it's a start of a new series on parables. So, and that's a great thing to do for the summer. I thought that was a brilliant way of doing it, of being able to spend that time just listening. If you listen to the whole of that passage that you just had read to you, time and again it was saying, listen, see, understand. And I think that takes time. I think it's a little bit about noticing. So I'm going to invite us to do some noticing today, to think a little bit, to see something that we maybe haven't seen before, or heard something that we've not heard before. But I think we start it today, and it sort of carries on as your summer goes on. Now, I know that some of you are still hard at work and maybe you haven't had a break or not going to be able to get a break. But I do want you to invite you, either if you have a little holiday or if you find some space and time in the midst of your week, just to be very deliberate about spending some time noticing. I wonder, what may you have noticed this week? Maybe there was something new that you saw that you've not seen before. Now, I've got a bit of a thing at the moment about listening to the bird song. It's quite a bit difficult sometimes with the main roads going, but sometimes you hear, I've got that app. Is it the Merlin Bird app? Have you seen that? I can never make it work, so I'm still not sure which bird it is. But trying to, I thought I'd try and sort of listen a bit, notice, slow down and listen. We can do that in all sorts of different ways. And so what I'm going to invite us to do, time and again, I'm going to say, well, we can't explore the whole of this passage today. So do take time this week, together, on your own, as a church, to think, to notice, to see what is God saying particularly. It starts with, that passage starts with, the person who has ears, let them hear. So, what is it that makes us think? How might we work things out a little bit? What does it tell us about God? What can we learn a little bit more about God? How might we experience something of God that we've not seen or thought about before? It's just a really simple question. You might want to sit with that passage this week and go, okay, let's try that one. Let's see what happens. You see, parables are really interesting things, and you'll see this time and again in this little series that you're doing. Jesus' use of parables is fascinating because Jesus would have been seen as a religious teacher, slightly unusual religious teacher, but, you know, people called him rabbi, didn't they? So he travelled around and then he spoke using parables, which was really unusual. It's not the normal way people would have done things. I like that about Jesus. It's not the normal way people would have done things. So perhaps we learn something about who God is that way. It's certainly not how people would have been teaching about God in first century Palestine. See, one of the things that we notice, and I think Amanda pulled that out a little bit earlier, is that parables always start in the everyday stuff. It starts with something really grounded. They deal with things that everybody knows about. Everybody can really get their heads into that. Yeah, I get that. I see that. I know that. It's not difficult to understand. Jesus doesn't say, right, I'm now going to give you a 20-minute intellectual theological treatise. Fortunately, I'm not going to do that either. But Jesus doesn't do that. He starts with something that people understand. Wonder what that might tell us about God. He starts in our everyday, something familiar, not all religious, not confusing, but can be a little surprising. Parables often run beyond, against our expectations. Sometimes the parables mean that we scratch our heads and go, well, what was all that about? Sometimes we're being taught in the everyday to think differently about what God may be saying to us. What does this tell us about God? There's a wildness to what Jesus tells us in parables. Can I encourage you, as you look at these different parables, what is the wildness that we see? We've sung some great songs this morning which express something of God's wildness beyond our expectations. We praise God beyond our understanding. So I think that's a little bit about noticing. Noticing is about asking that question, what does this tell us about God, and how might that affect and change the way I think about something? There is mystery in Jesus' parables. It's not all straightforward. Jesus' parables give us a glimpse of God beyond our understanding. That's really exciting, isn't it? I can say that again because I'm excited by that. Jesus' parables give us a glimpse of God beyond our understanding. They give us some indication of God's mystery, the beautiful working of God, the character and nature of God. Please take time to spend with these parables as you spend time talking with each other, because you will have a glimpse of God's mystery, of God's glory, of God's love. What does this tell us about God? So let's just have a quick look at the parable of the sower. Now, I just need to know, before Amanda told you that story today, had anybody heard of the parable of the sower? You had, okay. Has anybody ever heard a talk or a sermon on the parable of the sower? A few of you, absolutely. How many of you could probably give it now? Because you've heard it so frequently. Quite a lot, absolutely. I think sometimes it's so familiar, isn't it, something like this. We've already written it in our heads. We probably know what's going to be said, and we think, okay, Well, I've got 5 minutes to have a quick sleep. Absolutely. I have definitely heard lots of sermons on this parable. So I am going to invite us today to see if we can hear something which might surprise us. I am not going to unpack all of it for you, step by step, verse by verse. I'll leave you to do that bit on your own. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to join that crowd listening to Jesus that very first time when Jesus told his parable. Come and join that crowd. Perhaps think about that. As Jesus was down by the Sea of Galilee, it was a hot day, and you're walking with the crowd towards Jesus. You can feel the sun on your back. You can feel the sandy gravel at your feet. You can see the crowds really gathering around Jesus. There's a sense of expectation in the air. I wonder why you've joined the crowd today. What do you hope to see? What do you hope that you might see something of Jesus? What might you hear? Now, I'm going to be honest. I think if it were me, I hope that there would be something a bit dramatic that would happen. I quite like a little miracle. Maybe a withered hand grown, or somebody brought back from the dead would be really quite dramatic, wouldn't it? And we know that Jesus did that. I quite like to see that. I could watch, but not get involved. Just watch and go, ooh. But what actually happens? Well, we'll push deeper into the crowd as we watch Jesus get into a boat and push a little way from the shore, because there were so many people that they couldn't all see him or hear him as he sat on the shore. So we can strain a little. What are we hearing? I wonder if we could have that first. Can we have some of the slides up here? So, there is Jesus. Let's start at the beginning of the story. Listen, Jesus says, listen. A sower went out to sow. Okay. Just before we go any further, I have got some questions here. Now, I am no gardener. I don't have a garden. We live in one of the many flats in Hove, so I do not have a garden. Any gardeners here? Anybody got an allotment? Few of you, you know what you're doing. Any farmers around? Not many. No, funny that, isn't it? We don't have a lot of farmers in Brighton, do we? Jesus starts with something really basic, something that everybody would understand. Everybody would have understood sowing, planting, growing, and harvesting. For the people straining in around you to listen today, this was no hobby. This was the stuff of life. This was really basic. If you didn't get your seed right, then you weren't going to have a harvest. And if you don't have a harvest, you are not going to be able to feed the family. There was no Sainsbury's in the imagination of the people listening to Jesus for the first time. If you didn't grow it, you didn't eat it. And farmers and the gardeners and those who were listening to Jesus would have known that. A sower went out to sow. Perfectly normal thing to do. But seriously, couldn't they have been a little bit more careful? No farmer, no sower would let what happened here happen. A modern farmer would never, ever let this happen. Can we have the next slide? So I should have got this clicker thingy, shouldn't I? Now, we all seen that? A farmer went out to sow his seed in straight lines and with a lot of precision in a well-tended field. But that's not what we see. And of course, that probably wouldn't have been in the minds of our first listeners when we first heard the story. What they would have seen would have been the broadcast message. We have the next one. That's what they would have seen. That's what they would have done. A sower went out to sow some seeds, precious, precious seeds, generously throwing them around in a huge abundance. Beautiful, unexpected abundance. Do you think we could just keep that picture up for a minute? And that's that sense of just going everywhere with God's word. There was no stopping the farmer. Now, if you look at that picture, that broadcast method of farming, which has been practiced for centuries was still quite precise, but this is not what happens in this story. A sower goes out to sow some seeds and chucks it literally everywhere. Beautiful abundance. The people gathering around Jesus today would have known scarcity, would have understood that actually we go hungry sometimes if we don't have a harvest. From scarcity, Jesus paints this beautiful picture of abundance. A sower goes out to sow some seeds and throws it in abundance, and that's outrageous and it's wonderful, but it's really confusing. Really, really confusing. I wonder what that tells us about God this morning. The abundance of the kingdom of heaven. Maybe something to think about. Of course the sower sowed in abundance, because the seed was sown out of God's abundant love. Do we know that abundant love? The love that knows no end. The everlasting love of God. The sower who sows in abundance is the one who loves us in abundance. And of course the sower went out to sow seed like that. Because when... Well, let's just have that. Can we have the next picture up? The next slide up, please. Because of course God knows what it means to grow in abundance right from the start, that beautiful picture of the abundance of creation. This is more than just our little space. This is a picture of all that God has made and all that God has created. This is an expression of the nature of God. God, right at the start, called us to, talked about producing the land, producing fruit and bearing plants and trees and bearing fruit. And it was abundant and beautiful. And God said, it was so. And it was good. A sower went out to sow some seed, precious, precious seed, generously throwing them around in great abundance. Let's go back to the picture of the sower. Now, look again. It's been well prepared. And quite frankly, I'm very concerned about what Jesus is now saying as I'm listening to the first time, because some of the seed has fallen on rocky ground. I mean, why hasn't the land been prepared properly? Of course it was an expectation that precious seed would be sown on good soil. Every farmer knows that, the importance of preparing. There were rocks in the soil. But there's more. You notice that some of those seeds were thrown in areas where there was thorns in the soil. How did that happen? No one listening to Jesus that day wouldn't have been shocked by that. Wouldn't have seen all the things wrong with that. But it's not all. You see, they're also throwing the seeds so broadly. Some of them are going on the path. It's such great abundance. No one would sow like that. And then you get the seeds that grow, the seeds that grow up beautifully. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute, because, oh, that was it. That's it. That's all they get. Now, you know, because you've had it read to you when the disciples go to Jesus later on and say, what was that about? But that crowd went home that day going, what was that about? And they didn't get Jesus' explanation. That's all they got. And that's the thing about parables. They often don't get explained. We have to put that little bit of work in. We are invited to come and to notice the mysterious working of God in this parable. We're invited to come and listen and to see. We're invited into the kingdom of God. The word of God's kingdom falls widely and in great abundance, reflecting that God is beyond our understanding. Let's not limit God as to what we expect him to do. There's no details given about growth of those seeds. Nobody says in that parable, oh, and then they came and watered it, or looked after it, or tended it. No, no, it just grew up, or didn't. And this is so much reflecting who God is in the Bible. We are often taught, we're often told in the stories as we read the Bible of why God does something. And it's normally about God's love and grace and beauty for us. We don't get all the minute detail. In this parable, the seed grows. We are not told how, but we are told that it happens. In telling this parable, Jesus invites us to go deeper with him. So that's the invitation to you today. Let's go deeper with God, shall we? Let's sow beyond our expectations. What does that mean? I think for centuries we have failed, and when I say we, I think about the church, and I do sit sometimes listening to all sorts of different things in different places and in different ways. Sometimes we have failed to see how the word of the kingdom of God is sown beyond our expectations, and more importantly, sown beyond our control. We don't control the kingdom of God. Sometimes we like to think we do, but we really, really don't. Do you know, it's just sometimes church, people of God get things wrong. I know that might be a surprise, but it does sometimes happen. There are whole swathes of our country today who have not heard anything of God's love for them. There are whole places where the church has packed up and moved out. I can tell you where they are because some people I come across are actually going back and living in places where they have been forgotten, where it didn't feel like abundance. In Britain today, there are many ways in which God's word is being heard again, and it is growing and it's flourishing in ways that we don't expect and we can't control. Thank the Lord. And those pictures of baptisms is a testimony to that. We did not expect those numbers of baptisms coming through from the chaplains. We do not expect in many, many different ways young men and women walking into churches and saying, come and tell us about Jesus. Unexpected, uncontrolled growth. That's good news, isn't it? We just get to get and be part of the party. We don't have to control the party. That's a bit scary. Let's listen. Let's see what happens. Let's take time with God this week. So, as you spend time, as you listen, as you think, as you work together, as you pray together, do you know what you're doing? You're tending the soil. If you spend some time eating together, thank you, Amanda, again, for what you were talking about, having hospitality. That's tending the soil. I wonder how that feels. How much do you gather together, encourage each other? Maybe as you encourage each other, you're taking the rocks out of somebody else's way, and even more seeds can grow and flourish. Sharing with each other, doing life together, praying together, helping each other do some weeding of the soil. Maybe feeling a bit vulnerable together, sometimes being honest together, watching out for each other so that the birds don't swoop down and take the seed. That's called discipleship. And we all know about birds in Brighton. Can we create a culture based on God and his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven here in Brighton, where we hold each other in the abundant love that God holds us in, living and working and praying together, doing the work together. Flourishing, therefore, beyond our expectations. I love this picture of flourishing. And I want to just finish by looking at one or two things about the seed that grew up. Because it's the seed that grew up that really expresses something of God's love. It cannot help itself. Can I just have that picture of barley? Would that be all right? I think this is barley because it bends over, doesn't it? I've just been away for a couple of days and we walked very close to a field of barley. And the combine harvester came and harvested it. It was a brilliant field full of fruit. Now, if you had been listening to this parable the first time, that was outrageously silly to say that you were going to have a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times. If you get 15 times what you sowed, you would be overwhelmed. That's a flourishing harvest. 30, 60, 100 times is impossible, beyond our expectations. But that's what Jesus says. Let's get into the party, into the way where God's flourishing takes us 30, 60, 100 times beyond our possibilities. Jesus' parable is outrageous. It's fantastically good. It's beyond our expectations. It starts in the ordinary and it takes us to the extraordinary. It takes us into a world of hope and promise, of love beyond measure. It's about flourishing and bearing fruit. And again, I'm going to invite you, because I don't have enough time today, to talk about fruit this week. What does fruit look like? Fruit of right relationship with God. The right relationship with each other. Right relationships within our communities. Can you feel what this might do in Brighton? The right relationship with our beautiful created world around us. That's what changes things. That's the fruit. That's the beauty. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and light, have it to the full. It's not complicated. It's just beautiful. Live fully. To live fully, we can only live well with God and with each other and in our world and within our world. It's beautiful and it's hard. Sometimes it can feel like hard work, but God is already doing that work. We just have to get in on that picture. The Apostle Paul understood this, and in his letter to the Galatians, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And again, you'll have lots of sermons on this. You know, many of you will know these. Love, joy, peace, patience. I bet you had to learn this as part of a Sunday school thing. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's because that's how we do life well together. Can you imagine the fruit 100 times when all our communities looked like that? Isn't that beautiful? I think it's fantastic. That's the world I want to live in. Is that the world you want to live in? Is this what it means to be the light shining on the hill? Does this mean that how we are going to be shining bright like stars? And that people will come because they are so hungry for that fruit. They are so hungry for the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to ask one last question today. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready for the unexpected flourishing fruit of God's kingdom? Are we ready to invite those that we would not expect to come into our services, into our homes, into our whatever else it might be, into our lives? Are we ready to be surprised by God? Are we listening? Are we attending to what God might be saying? Are we ready to take and see this fruit, which will come out of season? That's another whole parable that we could talk about. One of the things that Jesus did once, he was hungry, wanted a piece of fruit, and went to a fig tree, and the fig tree had no fruit on it. It was really cruel. It was out of season. There wasn't meant to be fruit. It's not asking for an apple to grow in March. But Jesus expected that tree to grow fruit. Do we expect, are we ready for the unexpected, whatever God might be doing? Are we ready, even when people irritate us? And they will. We do, each one. It might not always be easy, but are we ready? Are we ready to trust, to pray, and to join in with what you might be noticing happening around you? God is faithful. The sower went out to sow the seed in wonderful abundance, expecting huge, uncontrollable growth. Sitting with that crowd by the lake on that hot day, we are invited to go deeper, to join in with the mysterious, unexpected working of God. We are invited to move as his Spirit moves in our communities. And so we are asking today, are we prepared to move out of our comfort zones? Are we prepared to take time this week to listen together and on our own? Are we prepared to look for the full fruit of the kingdom of God? Unexpected fruit. planted in unexpected ways, where God gives the growth, the abundant, unexpected love of God. Are we ready for the unexpected love of God? Are we? I hope so, because God's love for us is unending and abundant. Shall we pray together? I am so grateful, Lord, for all that you have done for us, for your abundant love poured out and pouring out amongst us. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, which whispers powerfully the word of your kingdom, the word of love, which says, come, join in and bear fruit. Lord, I pray for your blessing to rest on the church community here, on each one. As you send us out, would you go before us? Would you help us to see and to notice? And most of all, Lord, would you help us to listen carefully to you and to the cry of the hearts of others who do not know you? Would you help us to listen to your heart of love? Your blessing we seek in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.